certainly given some musical talents to these folks, and thank you for being willing to use those. Now, we have had the privilege for a number of years of knowing some good friends, and Dave Johnson came to Hanover in the mid-1990s, came to be an athletic trainer at Hanover College, and ended up coming over to church, and I think he's going to share a little bit about how Jesus came into his life. Actually, when he came to this place, he said he was an atheist, but I don't think he'd say that anymore. But we have Dave and Katie here, and they met and married, and God just brought them together, and God has given them a lovely family of five tremendous children. But they are here this morning, and they were youth workers here at Hanover Baptist for some time, and then God called them to something else. And so that something else has taken them to some faraway places, and they're going to come and tell us about that. And I have been looking forward to this morning. Have you not? And so we just want to hear an update from Katie and Dave. So proud of them and so thankful for them. Why don't we just give them a Hanover Baptist welcome?
Good morning. We're going to start off just by reading from 2 Timothy chapter 2 in verse 2. And please stand with me. I was actually here when that tradition started, that we standing for the reading of God's word, and it's a great tradition. So we want to keep that going. This is a very short passage, but and I turned my Bible to 1 Timothy. I'm sorry. And the things you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable men who will also be qualified to teach others. And just pray with me. Father God, as we speak this morning, may this be your words. Lord, may it be a blessing to those that are in the congregation hearing, and may you just be glorified. And we thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
So the first thing that we want to do when we come in front of you guys is always to say thank you. So thank you, because a long time ago, 12 years ago, you sent us out from this church to do this, what Paul is saying. So he's writing this letter to Timothy, and he is saying, hey, you've heard the things that I've taught. Now take the things that I've taught and go and teach those to others, who will go and teach to others, who will go to teach to others. And we don't know the people that it's going to reach next. So we're seeing that right now in the place where we live. So thank you for praying for us, because we've sent back lots of prayer requests through the years, and you guys have been faithful to pray for those things. You've been faithful to pray for things like health and, the friends of ours that have gone through hard times. So just thank you. Know that those prayers matter, that God hears everyone. So thank you guys for that. And thank you for giving. You guys know that the Lottie Moon Christmas offering goes 100% to keep us on the field. So Dave's going to talk a little bit more about that. But it also, it goes to things like our children's school, our healthcare, our housing, our vehicle that we drive over there. So everything that we need on the field is already taken care of because you give to that every year. And also because a portion of what you give every Sunday goes to that.
So just quickly, JD mentioned a little bit of my history, and I just wanted to tell you a little bit more. He was right. I came here to Hanover in 1994 and didn't know anybody in Hanover, so I thought, where do you go to meet people? And I'll go to a church. And this was within walking distance of where I was living, so I came here. And for about 4 months, I sat back there, probably about where the fees are sitting, and every week, you know, JD presents the gospel. He's very faithful in that. But for 4 months, when I look back at that time, I don't recall him sharing the gospel at all. And Satan was just blinding me to that for some reason. But somehow JD convinced me to come and have a one-on-one meeting with a pastor that was here doing revival services. And all the questions that I had to ask him, this was over four nights. I'd come and meet with him for about an hour. And I would ask all these questions. And every time I asked a question, the first thing he did is he would turn to a passage in the Bible. He didn't give me his own opinion. He opened the Bible and just read something in the Bible that answered my question. So we got to the end of that revival time, and it just got to a point where I said, either I'm going to trust this and believe it, or I just need to walk away from it and leave it. So I made the right decision, became a believer, and just immediately felt the call to serve. So started just looking for ways to serve within the church, within the state, helping out, doing things that could be done, and then looking internationally at ways to serve. And then Katie and I met, and she had felt a call to international missions as well. So that came together nicely, and in 2006, we headed out to Ethiopia. But we want you to understand that we were no different than any of you sitting out there. God called us to do this, and we were just obedient to answer that call. We're not special. You can ask my kids how special I am, and they will tell you.
I think a lot of you already know how special we're not, so thank you for agreeing with us in that.
So, you know, we have our struggles, and we deal with things probably not appropriately all the times, but that's just who we are. But God can still use us, and he's just called us to go to a place where we had to learn a different language to share the gospel. But if we were here, he would be calling us to do the same thing, to share the gospel where we are. But we wanted also to just to clarify some things, because over the years, it seems like terminology and what we do and who we do it for get confused. So we want you to understand that when we think of you guys, we think of you guys as the church that sent us out. So you're not only just our home church where we grew up, where we started raising our family, but you are the church that sent us out, and you support us and continue to do that. And the IMB, I know some of you here may not be Southern Baptist, may not know Southern Baptist history. And I just found this out recently, that the whole reason for Southern Baptist coming together across the nation was for the purpose of sending out international missions. So the International Mission Board came into existence to help you, church, send people like us. And somewhere along the line, it started to look like we stopped being part of this church and we started being part of the International Mission Board. And we want to just clarify that that's really not our intent, and that's not the intention of the International Mission Board, is that we want you to see that we are your sent out people. The International Mission Board just facilitates that process. They deal with our training. They deal with a lot of the logistical things of getting us to various places. And they put people in place just to help us live our daily lives so that we can focus on sharing the gospel. So that's kind of the relationship between International Mission Board and Southern Baptist. And that money that you give for Lottie Moon, it goes to the IMB. And like Katie said, 100% of that offering goes to keep us on the field. So we hugely appreciate what you guys do there. So thank you very much.
So we also want to thank you guys for coming to Ethiopia and for sending people to come hang out with us there. There have been several trips over the past, I don't know, when was the first time you guys came? Probably 2010, I think, 2010. And from 2010 till now, there have been several trips that many of you have been represented on. And those of you that haven't been able to come have helped support those people that have been able to come. And we just want to talk a little bit about the things that have happened because of those people coming. It's been hugely encouraging to us. Because we still see ourselves as part of this body. Of course, we're part of the greater global body of Christ. But we still see ourselves as a part of this local church, even though you don't see us very often. In our hearts, in our minds, we're still part of you. So when you send part of this local body out to be with us, to live life with us, it helps keep us where we are. It helps keep us grounded and close to Father, because sometimes we get really dry, and to just have a really good friend come and walk with me down the streets and sit in a home and pray, even if she doesn't know what anyone's saying, it matters. So some of the friends, some of the experiences that we have had because you all have come, there's just some people that we know and love better, that we've been able to share with better, that that have come out of those. So Dave's going to talk about one friend.
Yeah, one of them, those that came out on that first trip, got to meet. He is the coach of the Ethiopian national taekwondo team. And he and I met at a different meeting and just struck up a relationship. But when that first team came out, basically the project was teaching first aid and CPR to about 200 taekwondo coaches. But that just, it helped solidify that relationship. And now that person is one of the business partners in the sports company that we've opened up. The reason that's significant is for foreigners to invest in Ethiopia, it costs $200,000 to open up a business. By having that national partner, it drops it to $150,000. So, and he's also very well connected in the sports world. Because of him, I can go in and get meetings with the Ethiopian Olympic Committee, and I can get to high-level officials that just Dave Johnson by himself could never get to. So that's been hugely helpful, and the volunteers that came out for that project were a huge part in deepening that relationship.
And why that's important, why the sports job is important, is because it allows us to meet all these influential people and share with them. We don't just meet people and say, okay, let's do your sports work for you. We share with everyone that we meet. Generally, within the first or second meeting, we have shared with them. Or at least they know where we stand if they're ready to learn more. So that's why that's important. It gives us far-reaching, it gives us fingers into a lot of networks, a lot of segments of the population. Another friend that that we made, basically because you guys sent one of your own, is Mary. I'll just call her Mary. Mary is my dear Muslim friend who was born and raised in Saudi Arabia, had never heard the gospel, didn't really even understand where her name came from, but her dad named her that because he had heard about Jesus somewhere along the way, and he wanted his daughter to be gracious and humble like Mary was. So it was a very easy way to share with her, and she's hungry for truth. So we've known her for about a year now, and every time we are with her, we are able to share with her, pray with her, and she's very close to believing. I want you to pray for Mary. She's had a very hard life. She's now in Ethiopia for she doesn't know how long, but we've been able to invest a lot in her, and her goal is to go back to Saudi Arabia, and she will have the gospel in her heart. Whether she believes now or later, she knows the truth, and we have no doubt of that. She can have a very intelligent discussion about who Jesus is. So pray for her because it matters. Your prayers matter.
And we want you to understand that we are starting a sports company, but whether you can do sports or not, if you have a desire to come and work with us in Ethiopia, we need volunteers that will come and just walk alongside us. And you may not know a lick about sports, but you can come and pray, or you can come and share the gospel, and we can translate for you. So if God is calling you to go, and really in the past when we've spoken, we've not been in a great place to invite just anybody to come. But because of our standing with this business in the country, it gives us a little bit more clout, a little bit more authority to bring people in. And we still have to do sports things along the way, but it doesn't mean each of you that comes necessarily has to do a sports thing. So if you feel God's calling you and you want to come alongside of us and just live life with us or just walk down the streets and pray.
Or drink coffee with us.
Or that. It's a great job when you can share the gospel through drinking coffee. It's just a cool thing. But we are going to be hopefully better about communicating those needs to you guys. You know, one of your goals right now is to be connected, and I think that's a great goal, and we want you to be more connected with us. We have not always been great about communicating our needs, and we are electronically challenged. we've crashed like four computers in the time that we've been there. And we've lost a lot of your email addresses as well. So we're going to have a sheet up here at the end for you. I've even lost JD's email address along the way. So if you're not on our email list and you want to be, if you haven't gotten something from us in the last 3 or 4 months, then your name has probably been lost or your email address has changed and we didn't change it. But we want you guys on our list if you want to be on our list. And we would like you guys to communicate with us. So feel free to answer those emails that we send out as well. I'm going to try to read this now. So this is 1 Corinthians 16, 8 and 9. And, but I will stay on at Ephesus until Pentecost, because a great door for effective work has opened to me, and there are many who oppose me. This has been, we found this passage to be true in our lives. We recently started, especially some of the women started this idea of a fourth watch prayer, which was getting up at 3 a.m. on a Friday morning just to pray for a few hours. A group of maybe 6 people got together to pray for 2 or 3 hours very early in the morning. And through that, we did see a great door for effective work open up. And through that, we did see much opposition. But the fruit that we saw definitely outweighs the opposition that we come across. But one of those things we saw that kind of combined the two was, and this sort of happened while we were going through this, one of our friends was in an automobile accident, and she hit a pedestrian. And you have to understand, in our country, people walk alongside major roads, and there's no shoulder, they're right on the road with you, and sometimes they cross roads without looking. So she hit a woman, and the woman died. And so we knew that somewhere along the line, she would have a court process. And so during this fourth watch prayer, her court date came up, and we really thought that she was going to get off, that they would look at the situation and say she wasn't at fault, she's okay. Well, after some very, very intense prayer, she still went to jail. And some of you hopefully got the emails about that as she was going through that. We called her Lauren. But we didn't understand why she went to jail. We knew that this is a 28-year-old single female being put in an Ethiopian jail. And she ended up spending 4 or 5 weeks in jail before some behind-the-scenes things got her out. But during that time, our people would go down and visit her every day. She never spent one day by herself. And her mother even came and stayed for a month, and she would stay in a hotel and go visit at the prison every day. But there were other women in prison with her, and those other women all got to hear the gospel. And a couple of those women even believed. And in the jail there were men and women together. The women had their own separate area, and they were kept separate from the men. But there were about 600 men in that prison. And one of our national partners got permission from the prison officials to go and preach the gospel to those 600 men. And he still, to this day, has ongoing work at that prison. And he's been given permission to go to all the prisons within that region and share with the men in those prisons. And we have somebody local who lives in that town who is continuing to do discipleship work with those women who are still in the prison. So even though we thought this was this horrible thing that our friend was going to have to go to jail, and it wasn't a good situation, but many, many people heard the gospel because of what she went through. So even though there was opposition, there was great open doors that came out of it.
So also happening at the same time, this all happened between August and October, that whole situation. And then another thing that came out of that fourth watch prayer is a friend that our milkman knew. Yes, we have a milkman still. And he knows this woman. We're going to call her Mama. She's an older woman with white hair. She's got grown kids. And he was talking about what we do, and she said, I have to meet these people. I want to know more. And when we met her, she said, so what do you guys do? And we just very briefly said, we share the gospel with everyone we meet, and we teach people who are already believers how they can do that. And she said, you have to teach me. Now, this woman has been a believer, a persecuted believer, longer than I've been alive. And she is asking me to teach her how to do this. So I said, sure, we'll help you learn what God has given us with the, you know, just the resources that he's given us, we will pass on to you, this 2 Timothy passage. So she came, and I just was talking to God a lot about this, saying, what does she need? She doesn't need anything from me. She only needs you, what you have to give. So we started sitting down and just learning how to share better and just opening the word. And the things that she took away were, I need to bring people to a decision, to an action, not just put it out there, but ask them what they want to do now. What are you going to do about it? Now that you know that Jesus died for you, that you have no hope without him, what are you going to do? Because it's real easy to say, oh, I want to believe. Okay, what's next? Now that you believe, you're going to take what I just gave you, that truth that I just gave you, that Jesus died for you because you're a sinner and you have no hope without him, so you're going to give your life to him. Take that truth and pass it on to someone else. If you really believe that, you need to tell someone. So from the very start, before they even know how to read the Bible, they're going out and sharing. So she took that away, and she just took away some tools of how to share more culturally. So we have this, some of you have seen my little cross that I wear. It's an Ethiopian cross. And in Ethiopia, it's a symbol of identity. It says, I'm a Christian if I have that on. Now, it doesn't mean you know Jesus, but it means that that's your cultural identity. So we taught her how to use this to share the gospel. So she took away some very culturally appropriate ways to share, and the push for action to say, okay, now that you believe this, do this. And the next time, that happened one weekend, or one week, it was like a Tuesday. 2 weeks later, we sat down again, and she said, okay, I already had these Bible studies that I led, but now I've shared the gospel with all of them, and I've asked them to commit, and some of them have, and some of them haven't, but they want to start their own groups. So that's always our goal. Our goal is for them to be gathered into groups like this one. They're smaller when they start, but that's what she's doing, and she now has probably 10 to 15. I don't know on today how many groups she has, but she has people that she's trained who have started their own groups who are wanting to start their own. I don't know if they actually have because we haven't talked in about 6 weeks, but we'll find out when we get there. But these are the kinds of things that we're seeing. God is bringing us people who are ready, and all they need are just a few little tidbits, extra bits of him, extra guidance in the word, and they just go. So he is working. Okay, and one other thing that was happening through all of this time of great fruit but great opposition is that God was teaching us about abiding in him. So I'm just going to read a couple of abiding passages because he's had me in John 15 for a couple of years now. He's had me in a lot of places for a couple of years, but particularly John 15 verses 4 and 5. Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. He has really made this very real in our lives. We have gone through a lot of places where we know that we're nothing, where we know that we're totally inadequate, where we know that we have nothing to give, whether it's for health reasons, whether it's for, I don't know, I could list a lot of reasons, but we just have come to the end of ourselves many times. But he reminds us that if we remain in him, that he is in us and he is everything. So it's okay when we're nothing. So one more. is the other passage. I'll read to you Luke 10, verses 38 through 42. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, and indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." So Mary was sitting at the Lord's feet, and he said that that's better than anything you do. Well, we stay really busy, and I'm sure some of you stay very busy. But one thing is needed, and that is to sit at his feet. So he's been teaching us about what that looks like and what happens when you sit at his feet. You still end up a little bit busy, but it's a joyful, filled with love kind of busy. And it's a busy that glorifies him. It's busy about his work. And you don't feel busy because it's filled with joy. So I'm going to tell you one more little story before I turn the mic back to Dave. And as he's been teaching us about abiding, there have been moments where he is just very, very clear about what needs to happen right now at this moment. And one particular day, he told us to go out on the road, walk out, get on the train. And then he didn't say anything after that. He just said, "Get on the train." Okay, so we got on the train. The train was brand new. We hadn't ridden it yet. We didn't know the ropes. It was just a brand new experience for us, a little adventurous. So we got on the train, and then he said, "Go sit down over there." Or first he said, "Stand," because there was nowhere to sit. And then some people got off, and he said, "Sit down right there." So we sat, and there's a guy sitting across from me with a great big wooden one of these crosses. And he said, "Open your mouth." I didn't know what I was going to say. He just said, "Open your mouth." So I was like, "All right, that's pretty clear. I guess I can't keep it shut." And I like to keep my mouth shut. I know it's not obvious right now. But when I'm out in public and there's lots of people around, I would rather be quiet. But God wouldn't let me. So he said, "Talk." So I talked about his cross. And he was very engaging. And we started talking. And I was able to share the gospel with him. And while I was sharing with him, I happened to look up. And there's probably 20 people standing around, listening, kind of crowding around doing this, listening. And so by the time half those people got off, the person I was talking to got off. By the time people started getting off at different stops, a lot of people had heard. And I don't know what came of that. He wasn't ready to believe right there, but he heard. Lots of covered ladies heard. And then we also ran into a person that was a believer while I was sharing, and Dave was off talking to him. And we ended up spending the whole day with him, just encouraging him. He was there. He'd been in America for a long time. He was there to reach his own people. He wanted to come back to Ethiopia because that's where he was born, and he wanted to share with the people there. So we were able to give him some tools, give him some encouragement, and then on the way back, we met more people that we were able to share with and eventually get into their homes and share with their families. So this is one day where God just said, "Get up and go," and it was only because we had been sitting at his feet that day. So not every day is like that. Not every day is a day where he is just like clear, clear, clear. But it happens a lot that because we're sitting at his feet and we know we're nothing, that we need him, that he does that.
I want to finish with a story that we share with our Ethiopian friends that helps us to share the gospel. It ends with a nice lead into the gospel. And then we train them immediately to go out and share this story with others so that they might be a one-day believer, but they can share this story. And it'll be a familiar story to you guys. You know it as the prodigal son story, but in our culture, it translates as the lost son story. And they get stories. And at the end of this, I'm going to talk about some meanings that we pull out of the story. But they're a storytelling culture, and they get it. When we pull these meanings out, they see them immediately. So Jesus was teaching his followers, and he said, there was once a father who had two sons. The youngest son went to the father, and he said, Father, give me my inheritance. So the father gathered up what he had, gave it to the child. And the son went off to a far land, and he wasted the money. He spent it on wild living and just doing worldly things. And all of his money was gone. And then there was a famine in the land, and he needed to provide for himself. So he got a job feeding pigs. But he was still hungry. He didn't have enough money to eat, and he couldn't even eat the food that the pigs were eating. And then one day he came to his senses, and he said, I know, I'll go back to my father. My father has lots of servants. They have plenty of food. I'll go back there, and I'll say, Father, I'm sorry. I've sinned against you, and I've sinned against heaven. I don't deserve to be your son. Just make me your servant. So he went back home, and as he was going back home, the father sees him from a distance, and he runs to him, and he gives him a hug. And the son says, Father, I've sinned against you and I've sinned against heaven. I don't deserve to be your son. Just make me one of your servants. And the father turns to a servant and he says, go, get a cloak and put it on him. And go and get new shoes and put them on his feet. And go and get a ring and put it on his finger. And go and slaughter the fattened calf, because my son was dead and now he's alive. He was lost and now he's found. And from this story, we pull out, who is the father? And I'm just going to give you the answer, because when we do this in small groups, we interact more. But the father represents God, and the son represents all of us, because all of us have left the father at some point and have come back. If we're believers, we've already come back. If we're not believers, maybe we haven't come back yet. And the cloak that he puts on them represents God's grace that he clothes us with. And the shoes that he put on his feet represent walking in Jesus' way, because Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. And the ring represents we call it covenant. It represents our eternal covenant with Jesus. And the fattened calf reminds us that Jesus was the last sacrifice. He was the final sacrifice that was sufficient to cover all of our sin and to give us forgiveness. So I asked, just like I would ask when I'm in Ethiopia, do you need to come back to the Father this morning? You may already be a believer, but you've gotten away from God a little bit. Maybe you're not reading your Bible enough. Maybe you just need to commit more. You could be sitting here, I don't know, you were gone for a couple, 3 years at a time, and people come and go, and I don't know all of you in this room, so I don't know what your state is. But if you've never accepted Christ as your Savior, we want to give you that opportunity to come up here this morning. JD will come up here in a little bit, and you can come up and pray. You may already be a believer, but you've never been baptized. Maybe you need to commit to that. Maybe you need to commit to something God is calling you to. Maybe it's to missions work overseas. Maybe it's to pastoral work, whatever it may be. If God's calling you to do something, we just want to give you the opportunity to act on that. So let me pray for you. Father God, we thank you for giving us a chance to speak this morning. We thank you for every person who's in attendance this morning. I just pray that you would watch over them. And Lord, if you are calling somebody to do something, we pray that you would give them the courage to act this morning, that you would just let them be led by you. And Father, as we leave here probably in a couple weeks, we pray that you would just bless this church. We pray that you would watch over them, protect them, keep them from Satan's influence. And Father, just guide them in all that you do, that you want them to do, and that they would do everything to glorify you. And we thank you, Father, in Jesus' name, amen.